Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning on this beautiful day. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to worship the Lord. We're going to be doing that for a while. We're going to sing some songs, and after that, we'll get into the Word. But before we do anything, we do need to pray, so I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here, for we know that it is Thee that has brought us to be here today. And we thank Thee for Thy guidance, for Thy direction. We ask, O God, that Thou wast abide over this entire service, that we pray that Thy perfect will would be done. We pray that Thou wast move upon our hearts. We ask, O God, that Thou wast inspire us to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray, O God, that Thy presence would truly be here in our hearts and in this place, if we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Well, we are going to start with number 324 in the Melodies of Praise hymnal, I Surrender All. All Number 97 and sing "He Was Nailed to the Cross for Me."
Cross for me, the
Did go to that cross for us. He died on that cross for us, but got good news. They buried him, and after 3 days, he rose again, and he's still alive today. Glory to God. Our Savior lives. In fact, why don't we go to number 86 and sing He Lives.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you, God.
Oh, praise
minister to us, Lord Jesus.
And how is it that He lives in our hearts? Through His Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, that Comforter that He promised He would send, that very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, why don't we go to number 56 and sing, "The Comforter Has Come." Take up the collection. Thank you, sir.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy blessings. We thank Thee that Thou hast enabled us to be here, that Thou hast kept us for so many years. For we know that we could not be here without Thy sustaining power, and we thank Thee for Thy many blessings. We ask, O God, for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. But before we do that, we need to pray for Carol Hoffmeister. We all know her well. And she's in the hospital right now. They think she may have a blockage in her heart. And there's fluid in her lungs. And apparently her body's retaining a lot of water. So she does need our prayers. And we're going to pray for her right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning on behalf of our dear sister Carol. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst reach down from heaven now, even now. Let her feel Thy touch, O God, for Thou knowest all that is wrong, and we know that Thou art our healer. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give her a healing touch now, even now, Lord. Touch her from heaven. We ask, O God, that whatever is wrong, we pray that it would be completely healed, that Thou wouldst work a miracle in her life. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst reach down from heaven. Bless her, we pray, help her, give her comfort in her time of distress, heal her completely, Lord, abide with her, let her feel Thy Spirit upon her, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do serve a Savior who can heal, so we can believe Him for that. And we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. Number 195, We Shall See the King. looking forward to. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to begin going into the Word in just a moment. I did receive a note that there's some trouble with the sound upstairs, so I need to go check on that quickly. I will be right back, and then we'll get started. As it turns out, recording works better if the power button is on. So praise the Lord. Well, it's wonderful to study the Word of God, and we are going to continue the study that we've been in for quite a while, since the beginning of the new year, actually. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and this is going to be part 17 of a series I've entitled, In the Beginning. We're all the way over to chapter 43 in the book of Genesis. That's where we're going to begin today. I do want to mention that my wife and I, we are going to be leaving after church. We're going to be heading south, and we're going to be gone for quite some time. We should return on the 16th of this month, but we are still going to have church next week. In fact, it was an unusual experience for me. I came over here yesterday, and I preached a sermon. There was no one here except the Lord and myself, and you know, it was a little strange at first, but I do believe the presence of the Lord was here, and hopefully that message will be a blessing. It will be played here next week, so we'll still have church. It's always an important thing to do. But praise the Lord, we are, and we would really appreciate your prayers as we travel. It's going to be quite the journey. We're going to be going through a lot of different states. We're going to be in South Carolina for a while to visit with Leah's folks. She hasn't seen them since 2013, so we're looking forward to that. And then we're going to go a little further south, down into Georgia and then the top part of Florida and so forth. And we'll slowly begin making our way home from there, but we do appreciate your prayers as we travel. Now, we are in Genesis chapter 43, but before I read even one verse, I do want to pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy many blessings. We thank thee that thou hast brought us here, for we know that it is thee that has brought us. And we ask, O God, we pray for thy guidance, for thy direction. We ask that thou wouldst be here, that thou wouldst inspire us, that thou wouldst move upon our hearts, that thou wouldst give us understanding, that thou wouldst open our eyes to new and wonderful things in thy word. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst fill us all with the Holy Ghost. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are on Genesis chapter 43. We're moving through this book at a pretty good pace, and it'll just be a few more weeks and we'll be done with it. So that'll be wonderful. It's been quite a story so far, and right now, where we're at, we're reading about Joseph, who has been in Egypt for quite some time. He was sold into slavery by his brethren, and you know, that's a heartbreaking thing, but God was able to use that for good. And Joseph, he went through a lot in Egypt. He was falsely accused and thrown into prison for a time, and then finally he was brought out of prison and he interpreted dreams for Pharaoh. And after he did that, he was elevated to a position of great authority. In fact, he was the number two in the entire kingdom of Egypt. Only Pharaoh had more power than him. That's really amazing when we stop and think about that. But there was a great famine in the land. We know there were, at the first, there was 7 years of plenty. And God revealed in dreams to Pharaoh, which Joseph interpreted, that there would be a famine for 7 years. And that there would be 7 years of plenty first, and then there would be 7 years of famine. And knowing that, they were able to prepare during the 7 years of plenty. And that's exactly what they did. Now, we find that Joseph's brothers, they came down to Egypt to buy corn because that famine was in the land of Canaan as well. In fact, it was all over the place, a far-reaching famine. So they came to buy food, and when they came there, they didn't recognize their brother, Joseph. We know that his name had been changed by Pharaoh, and that's probably another one of the reasons his name was changed, so that his brothers wouldn't recognize him, because this was all in God's will. God designed this whole thing to happen exactly the way it happened, and we're going to see that as we read this. That will be revealed. But his brethren, they came down to Egypt to buy food, and Joseph, he dealt harshly with them. He accused them of being spies, and he told them, if you want to come back and buy more food, you're going to have to bring your little brother Benjamin. And he took his brother Simeon prisoner. And that's where we are at this point in the story. In chapter 43, verse 1, it tells us, and the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had bought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. So they had obviously been home for a while, because they brought back corn, and now that was gone, which means that their brother Simeon, he must have been in prison for quite some time, because they hadn't been back yet. And now they've exhausted their food supply. The corn they did have from Egypt, that's all gone, and they need more. So Jacob is telling his sons, go back to Egypt, buy more. But they're going to protest that. They don't want to do that. Judah, in particular, in verse 3, it tells us, and Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. So in other words, they're telling Jacob, we're not going to go unless you let us take Benjamin with us, because this man said, you have to bring your little brother. Verse 5, but if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? So he's chastising them, his sons there. He's saying, why did you have to tell this man that you had another brother? Why did you have to tell him that? So they're explaining. In verse 7, and they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? So they're telling their father, we just answered the questions that he asked. We didn't know he was going to ask us to bring our brother. How could we know that? So we see there's a bit of a dispute going on amongst the family here. And verse 8 tells us, and Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. They needed food. There wasn't a whole lot there. I will be surety for him of my hand, shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. So obviously there had been discussion going on for quite some time about going back to Egypt. They talked about it, and now Judah is saying, look, if we had just gone, we'd be back again already. Verse 11, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land, the best fruits in the land, in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And of course we know that there was a great famine in the land, so to give up what little they had, that was very costly. And yet they were willing to do that because they needed that food. But they had a little bit of a few other things, and they were going to take that along as a gift for this governor in Egypt. Verse 12 tells us, "And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight." So as you might recall, the last time they went down to buy food, all of their money was restored in their sacks, and they were afraid. They didn't know how that happened. They had no idea why their money was in their sacks, and it was in their sacks because Joseph told his men to return the money to them and put it in their sacks. But you know, we know that Jacob was a man of integrity, and he thought that this must have been an oversight somehow, that they forgot to take the money or some such thing, and he's telling them, take the money and take more money. Take the money you should have paid before and then take more to buy more food. And, you know, there's a lesson to learn from that, too. If you should come across money that's not yours, you need to return it. I know there have been times I've been checking out at the store, and I remember one time I was over at Rechecks, and the woman doing the working the checkout, she must have been tired because she looked at the screen wrong, and she was about to hand me the total instead of the change, and it would have been $13 instead of, I think, $6 and something cents. And I told her, "Hey, you're about to give me way too much money there." And of course, she was appreciative of the fact that I notified her of that. But you know, if you find money, or if the checkout person's giving you the wrong change or something, you need to tell them. Some people, something like that happens to them, and think, "Well, praise the Lord, what a blessing from the Lord." No, that money doesn't belong to you. You need to return it. Verse 13, "Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man." So we see here that Jacob, he's finally giving in. He's telling him, okay, you can take Benjamin. "And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin." He's referring to Simeon there, who is in prison. "If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." So at this point, he's come to the conclusion that whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But he's praying that the Lord has mercy upon them. And of course, we know that he did. Praise the Lord. Verse 15, "And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph." So they're back, and they brought Benjamin. "And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, 'Bring these men home, and slay, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon.' And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, 'Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses.'" You know, that just strikes me as kind of funny, you know, at this point. You know, there's saying, well, he's going to take us for slaves, for bondmen, and then they're also concerned about losing their asses. It doesn't seem like it would matter a whole lot at that point, but it's kind of funny. But what's happening here, they're brought into Joseph's house, and they didn't know why. They thought that they were brought in there because of the money that had mysteriously appeared in their sack, so they thought, well, he must be here to punish us. You know, he's going to deal harshly with us again. And they didn't know what Joseph was going to do. But actually, they were just there to have lunch. And verse 19 tells us, "And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, 'Oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks.'" So they're just trying to explain what happened. And the steward, he reassures them. In verse 23, he says, "And he said, 'Peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money.' And he brought Simeon out unto them." And of course, the steward, he did have their money. What he didn't tell them is he put it back. Verse 24, "And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, And they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. So finally, after they got that all sorted out, they heard that they were going to be eating there in Joseph's house. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. Remember that dream that Joseph had so long ago? And the dream which signified his brethren bowing down before him? This was coming to pass, just as he had dreamt, so it was. And verse 27 tells us, and he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father alive? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant our father is in good health, he is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And of course, this was a very exciting thing for Joseph to see his little brother, Benjamin. The other brothers he had, they were half-brothers. But he and Benjamin, they were the children of Rachel. So there was a closeness between them. And he obviously really wanted to see his brother, so he must have been very excited to see him. There were a lot of emotions welling up in Joseph, and he had a little trouble containing himself. It tells us in verse 30, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, 'Set on bread.' And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians." The Egyptians, they didn't like the Hebrew people. They didn't want to associate with them. They couldn't even eat with them. So we see here that Joseph's brethren, they're put in a different place than everyone else, and they had to eat by themselves because Hebrews and Egyptians were not supposed to eat together. And yet, funny thing is, Joseph was a Hebrew, so they were eating with a Hebrew all the time, actually. "And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another." So Joseph, he knew exactly how old they all were, and he set them in place by age. And they must have been wondering at this point, what's going on here? How could he possibly know that? "And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him." You know, by messes there, that's referring to food. I guess it was a mess of food. But I believe that there were a couple of reasons why Joseph was bestowing so much upon his younger brother Benjamin. Obviously, he loved his little brother quite a lot, but I believe he was also testing his other brethren to see if they were going to get jealous again, just as they had been jealous of him. If Benjamin gets all of these things, are they going to grow jealous of Benjamin too, or have they changed? And he's going to conduct another test in chapter 44, just to see where their hearts were at. In chapter 44, verse 1, it tells us, "And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, 'Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money.' And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, 'Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing.' And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. And I'm sure when they saw Joseph's servant coming, they were concerned. Because, you know, before they found their money in their sacks again, and now they're probably wondering, what now? What now? Why is he here? What is happening? And so his servant, he accuses these men, the brothers of Joseph, of stealing Joseph's cup. And of course, they didn't believe they had done it. They knew that that would be the wrong thing to do. And verse 8 tells us, Behold the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? In other words, they're saying, Look, if we intended to steal from you, why would we bring that other money back and try to return it? It doesn't make any sense. Verse 9, With whomsoever of thy servants it is found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And they said that, believing that none of their brethren had that cup. And verse 10 tells us, And he said, Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. So he's saying, Whoever has this cup, he's going to be the servant. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they started at the eldest, Benjamin. He was the very youngest, so he looked through all the sacks, and then he got to Benjamin's, and if you can just imagine the suspense, and then when they realized that the cup was in Benjamin's sack, they couldn't think of a worse thing that could have happened, I'm sure. Verse 13 tells us, Then they rent their clothes and laid at every man his ass and returned to the city. So they went back to Egypt. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. So Judah, he was speaking to his brother Joseph. Didn't know it was his brother, but he's telling them, We will all be your bondmen. We'll all be your servants. And you know, Judah, he was a changed man. If you remember when we studied in chapter 38, he was getting into all kinds of trouble. Doing all kinds of bad things, bad influences from bad friends, and hanging out with the wrong sort of people, and got himself into all kinds of trouble. But after that happened, he went back to his family. And I believe he was a changed man, and we're seeing that change in him in this chapter that we're reading now. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. So he's telling them, I'm just going to take Benjamin, the rest of you can go. But Judah, he knew that there was no way he could do that. There's no way that this could stand. So he's going to plead for Benjamin. He's going to make intercession for Benjamin. He was a changed man. He wasn't the same man who sold Joseph into captivity for 20 pieces of silver. Now he was pleading for his brother. Verse 18, Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. And I believe the reason Joseph put them through this ordeal, he was testing them to see what they would do if his little brother was accused. Would they just abandon him? Would they let him be taken captive? Where were their hearts at? And this was the test. But we see here Judah is pleading. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down, for our youngest brother be with us. Then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. It's kind of interesting here. He had other wives, but he really only regarded Rachel as his true wife. You can see that based on what he says. Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And we know that Rachel, she only had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. So we see here Judah is pleading his cause, saying, you have to let me take Benjamin home. If you don't, it's going to kill our dad. Verse 32, for thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the land of a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. See, this was a changed man. Judah was not the same man he was before. He was no longer that man who sold his brother into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. We see now that he is pleading for his little brother. And he's telling Joseph, I will take his place. I will take his spot. Just let Benjamin go home. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? So he's willing to take Benjamin's place. And at this point, Joseph must have realized that his brothers, they had changed. Judah in particular had been a changed man. And at this point, Joseph was now ready to reveal himself to them. In chapter 45, verse 1, it tells us, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. So everybody else left. It was just him and his brothers standing there. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph cried so loud, he was weeping so loudly, that the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh, they all heard him. And verse 3 tells us, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And we know that up to this point, Joseph had always used an interpreter, but now he was speaking to his brothers in Hebrew. He's revealing himself to them. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. So his brothers, they were confused, they were afraid, they didn't understand how this could be. How is it that Joseph, their brother who they'd said sold into slavery, how could he be the governor, this man they'd been standing before, who had dealt harshly with them, this man that they had bowed down before? How? Could this be Joseph? And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. So he has to tell them again. And I'm sure when it finally dawned on them that, yes, this is our brother, this is Joseph, they were probably very afraid because they had done a horrible thing to their brother. But God was able to turn that around and use it for good. Verse 5 tells us, Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And you see here how Joseph is a type and a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, how he was sent to save his brethren by a great deliverance, just as Jesus Christ did for us. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And we know that something similar happened to Jesus Christ. Except he wasn't made just Lord of all Egypt. He was made Lord of all.
Yes, Lord.
And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. So we see how this is all working out in such an amazing story. Such great joy. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. You know, Pharaoh, he liked Joseph quite a lot. And I don't believe it was just because Joseph had interpreted his dreams. I believe that he could sense the presence of God in Joseph's life. And because of that, you know, Pharaoh, he thought well of Joseph. And he must have, obviously, if he made him governor over all Egypt and second in command. Verse 17, And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, This do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. And also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. You know, 300 pieces of silver, that was a lot of money. And clothing was also very, very costly. So 5 changes of raiment, that was quite a gift. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn, and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. So he's telling them to have a safe journey and to return back to him again. And they went out, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. My, how the tables had turned. And if you can imagine, for Jacob, he thought his son had been killed. He thought Joseph was dead. And he thought that Simeon was in prison, and probably, maybe wouldn't, he didn't know if he'd ever see him again. And he was worried about Benjamin, but they come back and they have good news. News so amazing that Jacob fainted when he heard it. He couldn't believe it. Joseph is alive. He thought he was dead. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Praise the Lord. Well, this is quite a story. Quite a story that is unfolding here. And we know that Joseph, his brothers, they didn't know what happened to him. They knew they had sold him into slavery. But his father, Jacob, he just assumed that Joseph was dead. And now he's being told, no, he's not dead. He's alive. Praise the Lord. Kind of reminds me of the Gospels when Jesus was resurrected. At first they couldn't believe it. But then they were told, he's alive. And Jesus revealed himself to them. But there's one final place I'd like to go to in scriptures quickly. Philippians chapter 2. I wasn't going to do this, but I thought of it while reading Genesis about how Joseph was exalted in that kingdom and made Lord over all of Egypt. And we know that a similar thing happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And that is how we should behave. We should esteem each other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We know that when Jesus was here on earth, he was God manifest in the flesh, both man and God. But he humbled himself and he took that body, that human body, which I can assure you was quite a downgrade to what he was used to. But he humbled himself, and verse 7 it tells us, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, the form of a servant.
Yeah,
remember how Joseph, at the very first, he was a servant in Egypt? And he had even been thrown in prison, but you know, the Lord turned that all around and he was exalted in that kingdom of Egypt. And he was made Lord over all of Egypt. And we see that the same thing happened to the Lord Jesus, except he wasn't just the Lord of all in Egypt, but he's the Lord of all in the entire world, in the entire universe. Verse 8, And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, he has been highly exalted, and he is Lord of all. One fine day, we're all going to bow before him. Everyone's going to do it. Not just believers, but the unbelievers too. And for us, it will be an honor and a privilege. We'll be able to worship the Lord and bow before him. And we will enter into his kingdom, his eternal kingdom in heaven. What a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. But it's so amazing the similarities we see in the story of Joseph and the story of Jesus. Well, as I mentioned earlier, my wife and I won't be here next Sunday, but there is a message, and that will be played, and we will return the week after, and when we do that, we will continue this study in Genesis. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the many lessons thou hast taught us in Scripture. We thank thee, O God, that thou came in the form of a man and humbled thyself. For we know that thou didst so that we might be set free from the bondage of sin and be delivered from all the evil in this world. And we know, O God, that thou art highly exalted, that thou art now Lord of all, not just us, but all in this world and all in this universe. And we thank thee, O God, that thou hast saved us, that thou hast blessed us in so many ways. And we thank thee for the book of Genesis and the many lessons thou hast taught us. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us, that thou wouldst do a work in our hearts, that thou wouldst move upon us, fill us all with thy Holy Ghost. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing a chorus in closing. Just need to find it. Number 72 in the chorus book, for He is Lord. For He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For he is the Lord, and you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.